Welcome to the ministry of First Reformed Church of Aberdeen, South Dakota. Our worship services begin at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. Now we join Pastor Hank Bowen as he brings God's Word.
For our Bible reading, let us turn to John chapter 14. We are coming to the sola, the tenet of the Reformation, of Christ alone. And I've chosen for our passage here the first six verses of John chapter 14. Where the Lord Jesus is approaching the night in which he is going to be arrested and tried and taken out and crucified. And so these are some of his final words. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's home are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. He is not one of an infinite number of ways to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14:6, Jesus said these very words. And he ended by saying, "No one comes to the Father but through me." That is probably the most exclusive statement ever made by anyone. It is the greatest offense in our modern age of tolerance. But the truth remains. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Those are the words of Acts 4:12. The world outside of Christ hates that statement. The truth is that Jesus is Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we read, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus made this statement here in John 14 with a sense of supreme authority on the night before his death. This is one of the great seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. And Jesus directs the thoughts of the disciples to himself on that night. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He answers to our greatest needs in life. And he can do that because he is the I am. "I myself," he says with strong emphasis, "in the way." With the I am, there is the emphatic emphasis. I and I alone, I and no other, am the way and the truth and the life. The way is the means to God the Father. Thomas, as he's so well known for, doubting Thomas. "We don't know, Lord. We don't know. I'm not going to believe unless I put my fingers into the hole." And Jesus responds that he is the only way. Only this one way takes us to the Father. And this way is in a unique person. The highest occupation for the Christian is Jesus Christ. And an increasing personal knowledge of him. Often you're going to hear me recite those words that we are called to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's our calling. That's what we strive for. That's what we should desire most in life. Jesus is the truth incarnate, and he is the life to all who believe on him. Why? Because of our greatest need. We are in the desperate need in our day for the truth. In the place of religious ignorance and error. And so Jesus gives us a perfect revelation of the Lord God. Moreover, we are alienated from God because of our sin, and we need the perfect way into His holy presence. Thomas speaks as the sinner when he says, "We don't know the way to the Father." And Jesus responds with a solution. "I am the way, Thomas. There is a way which seems right to a man," it says in Proverbs 14:12. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The wages of sin," we're told in Romans 6:23, "is death. However, there is a way to God through the person of Jesus Christ. He who has seen me," Jesus says, "has seen the Father." The Bible's so clear. Paul says we are dead in trespasses and sins, and that Jesus alone gives life, eternal life instead of death. Our fallen parents can only give birth to fallen children. When Adam sinned, he became alienated from God, and he tried to hide himself. After believing the devil's lie, he was no longer capable of perceiving the truth. He no longer had spiritual life because God's law was strictly enforced. The Bible records that God had clearly declared that in the day that you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you will surely die. Man's problem is that we are dead spiritually, that we are lost spiritually. We are like dumb, foolish sheep that have wandered away into a spiritual wilderness and have lost our way. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We are totally ruined by sin, and we live in a state of depravity outside of Christ. We feel guilty because we are guilty. We are in total ruin in God's sight. We are not slightly tarnished by sin. We are dead, lost, condemned, unclean, alienated, totally depraved. We cannot establish on our part a right relationship with God. The only way that we can have a right relationship with Him is by His grace. Because of our spiritual state, we must also recognize we cannot fix ourselves. Dead people do not bring themselves back to life. But there is good news. Our three greatest needs are perfectly met here by Jesus Christ. Are you alienated from God because of your sins and trespasses? Jesus is the way. Are you in need of absolute spiritual truth without any mixture of error? Jesus is the truth. Are you dead spiritually? Jesus is life, and He gives eternal life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In the preceding verses in John 14, the disciples were in a state of shock because Jesus had just told them that they could not follow where He was going. They were troubled because Jesus was talking about His death. Jesus told them that He was going to prepare a place in heaven. He is the means of bringing to heaven sinners to be with His Father. He is going ahead of them, and He will prepare a permanent resting place for His people. When they arrive one by one, or when He comes at His second coming in glory. Keep clearly in mind the one who is speaking is headed to the cross the very next day. Yet, there is not the slightest doubt in Jesus' words. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a permanent place for you," He says. Absolute certainty is written all over this passage. The disciples And every believer will be with Jesus one day. And here is the greatest assurance that the believer will be with his Lord. If we follow him, we will come to where he is. Our destination is to be with him in heaven. In fact, that verse speaks not that we go to him, but he literally at that point of our death comes and he collects us and brings us there, one by one. Amazing thought. One of his disciples, Thomas, wanted Jesus to make it absolutely clear, how can they know the way? It seems so important to him in verse 5. Jesus has been teaching his disciples that he is going back to be with the Father. And now he speaks of the way to God because he is not only shown the way, he is the only way to the Father. Man is totally ruined in sin. And his only hope in having a right relationship with God is through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. The solution to your sin problem is a personal relationship with Christ. And so Jesus says, it is enough that you know me. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, it says in Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's a sealing of the confidence with which Jesus is speaking here the night before he goes to the cross. The only way back to God is by way of the cross of Jesus Christ. He is not merely a spiritual guide who came to show sinners the path in which they ought to travel. He is himself the way to the Father. And there's no other way because Jesus Christ is the only person who can deal with our sin problem. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God who took our sins upon himself and he died for us. He is our substitute. He died in our place. All our sins are laid on him and he paid our death penalty. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And Christ died our death so that he could give us eternal life. Jesus went to the cross and died for you and me. Our debt is paid in full. He bore in his own body the wrath of God for us. He was our substitute, and by his atoning sacrifice, he removed the guilt and punishment of sin forever. And this is why he is our only way into the presence, the holy presence of God. Because of his death on the cross, God can now remove the believing sinner's sin as far as the east is from the west. You know, we hear those words in the Lord's Supper all the time, that he takes our sins as far as the east is from the west. That's coming from Psalm 103, verse 12. And what that literally means is, he takes our sins and he obliterates them. He moves them beyond infinity, which is an impossibility. I was telling the catechism class a couple weeks ago, we were studying the word infinity, and I said, in Toy Story, where he says, to infinity and beyond, I said, those are the most dumb words can ever be said. What's beyond infinity? There is nothing beyond infinity. But it sounds really good in the movie, right? But God's saying the same thing. He's saying moving the sins of the people from as far as the east is from the west. He's saying it's completely gone. He has cast them out of our reach into the depths of the sea, says in Micah 7:19. Our sins are forgiven, forgotten, and removed forever. Amen? Jesus is not only your only way, he is the perfect way into God's presence. We have a perfect position now with God the Father because of the Son. Jesus has opened the way into God's presence, and that way is never closed for the believer. He provides a perfect reconciliation, bringing back together with God, it says in 2 Corinthians 5. And He has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation because of His matchless grace. Jesus is the way, and He has come to you. And there is nothing to do except believe on Him. He has done it all. You receive Him by faith. Jesus not only shows us the way, He is the way. No man comes to the Father in any other way than by the way that goes through Jesus. As the way, Jesus is the only link between God and sinful men. To know Jesus is to know the Father. John 1:18 says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has revealed Him." God cannot be seen in the literal sense. John 4:24 affirms that when it says, "God is spirit." The Jewish people would count it as an article of faith that no man has seen God at any time. But to know Jesus fully is to see the Heavenly Father. His followers really know who God is through that intimate personal relationship that they have with the Son. In our day, it is so radical because everyone wants to worship many gods. They wouldn't say that, but they do. Everyone wants to think that there are many ways to God, but there isn't. There is only one way, and that is by the way of the cross. That is by the way of the one who hung upon the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. And so Jesus Christ spans the infinite distance between God and the sinner. As such, it is impossible for sinful man to manufacture a ladder to climb up to God through prayers or tears or penitence, resolutions, rededications, self-help, pop psychology, anything you might think. Cornelius Van Til used to say that man is a man of ooze in a pool of ooze seeking to climb out on a ladder of ooze. I don't know if you get the picture, but nothing happens. There's no substance. But in Christ there is. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. The sinner could not go to God, but God in the person of His Son comes down to us. And He is our only way to the Father. He is the way to the Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is the full, final, and complete revelation of God. And as such, Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the truth. He says, "I myself am the truth. I and I alone, and no one else is the truth." Jesus is the actual embodiment of the truth. He is the authoritative representative and the revealer of God. He hears what the Father says, and He does what the Father tells Him to do. You can paraphrase John 14:6. "I am the way that reveals the truth about God and gives life to people." But the world is confused. And it remains confused because it remains in darkness. At one point, the Bible says that those who love darkness will not come into the light that their sin may be revealed. Jesus Christ is the very reality of all God's grace toward us sinners. Grace and truth could not merely be given. It had to actually come through that living person of Jesus Christ. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Adam fell for the devil's lie, and people still believe it to this day. The reason is because fallen man has his spiritual senses darkened. The Apostle Paul said, "Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart." The truth is found in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the truth. As He reveals the Father, He exposes our sin. And truth is found in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He reveals the Father. He exposes our sin and unbelief. And as it says in Colossians 2:3, for in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Man has exchanged the truth about God for a lie, but the very truth of God resides in Christ. He is full of grace and truth, and He is the source of grace and truth to us. Truth is God's very reality revealing itself in Jesus. Truth is knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. To have the truth is to have eternal life. All of these things are over and over and over again brought forth in God's Word. Have you humbled yourself and bowed down before Him who is the truth? The one who is eternal truth? The emphasis in this great statement is not just truth as opposed to a lie, reality as opposed to mere illusion, but His faithfulness, reliability, trustworthiness, and sureness are envisioned in His statement that I am truth. Jesus Christ is the God of truth. Absolute truth is the characteristic of God. And it is only as we know God that we know truth. It includes the complete reliability and the complete integrity of God. He will certainly act in accordance with the highest conceivable integrity and righteousness. You know, you might think to yourself, but how can I know God? God is eternal. God is infinite. God is up there. How can I know God? I can't ever truly know God. But the answer is that God reveals Himself to you and to me through His Word. And the knowledge that we have of Him is a real knowledge of who He is. Not exhaustive. We can't have an exhaustive knowledge of God. But that doesn't mean we can't have a real knowledge of God. Because God does reveal Himself to us. Without Christ, men are under the power and influence of the devil, who is the father of lies. Christ, on the other hand, is Himself the truth about God. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Without Christ, men are without truth and are still in their trespasses and sins. Jesus tells us that a true knowledge of the Father can only be obtained through a true knowledge of the Son. If you had known me, Jesus says, you would have known my Father. Also, from now on, you know Him and have seen Him, it says in John 14:6. If the Son is truly known, and the Father is truly known, we can know the Father in so much as we know the Son, but no further. Christ was more than an appearance of God. He was God made flesh. He was the only begotten who fully declared Him. He is the God-man who is fully human and fully divine. He is truth incarnate. The emphasis is on the fact that you can know Him so clearly that it may be said you see Him. The work of the Holy Spirit is to take the things of Christ and to show them to the believer. The disciple of Jesus, Philip. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us. And what was Jesus' response? Jesus said, He that has seen me has seen the Father. In seeing Jesus, Philip is seeing God. He is the one in whom God can be found because He is the end and the goal. There is no use looking anywhere else. The truth is, I and the Father are one, Jesus said. Philip said, show us the Father. And Christ replied, have you not known me, Philip? Philip, don't you know who I am? What Philip desired was right there before his eyes. The glorious revelation of God was standing right before him. The Word made flesh was tabernacling Himself before men, and His glory was the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. as the Apostle Paul declared. He was the visible image of the invisible God. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness of the Godhead to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having been made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. In John chapter 14, and John 14 is an incredibly powerful chapter, in the verses 10 and 11, Jesus explains and he illustrates further. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Jesus is saying, proof is in the pudding. Think about what you're seeing. Think about what you have witnessed. Christ was in the Father, and the Father was in him. And this becomes the most perfect and the most intimate reunion between the Father and the Son in such a way that both the words and the works of Jesus were a perfect revelation of the Godhead. And so as Jesus spoke, and as things occurred, he commanded, and they stood fast. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he that was dead came forth alive. Only God can do that. Every time Jesus opened his mouth to say something, it was the Father's words coming through the Son. There was this perfect union between the Father and the Son, so that when Jesus spoke, every word and utterance was truly his. But what was said and the words he employed were also the Father's own thoughts and speech, so that the two speak as one because they are one. Jesus in the Father and the Father in Jesus. Do you seek the truth? Think about the words of verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Believe that the Father in me and I in him. What is our response? And we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. That is the confession of the Christian. This is the true God and eternal life, it says in 1 John 5:20. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's our last point. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the life for all who will repent and believe on him alone for salvation. He alone delivers us from death. Christ is the emancipator from death, physical, spiritual, and eternal. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, but I came. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The devil comes in and seeks your soul. Jesus says he's a murderer from the beginning. He only desires your destruction. But Jesus says, I came. I came that in me you might have life. The natural man is spiritually dead. He is spiritually lifeless. Everything revolves around I, me, and mine in the natural man's life. He is alive to the world, but he's dead to God. And the things of God, he has an earthly existence, but he is spiritually dead. However, Jesus promises to raise the dead. He gives life, eternal life, to all who will call upon him. The life that Christ gives is God's life, and therefore that life is eternal. This truth gives the believer great assurance, because we can no more perish than God the Father can. All that are in my Father's hand, no one can pluck them from me. Jesus promised eternal life. Jesus came that you may have his kind of life. And he alone is the giver of life because he is its source. But we must turn to him who is life if we want abundant life. You know, physical existence matters little. The only life worthy of the name is that which Jesus produces within us, because He is the life. Jesus is the real and living way. Life in the Gospel of John is characteristically eternal life. So Jesus says at one point, don't seek those things where moth and rust destroys. We've seen such destruction lately. People's entire life, all of their things, they say, all my life is gone. But we hear more and more within that realization of the quickness with which we can lose all material things. People say, but that's not as important as the fact that I'm still here. Do we really believe that? I mean, if we really believe that, the question then comes down, what are we chasing? What are we chasing in life? Jesus says, chase that. Seek that treasure which is eternal. That heavenly treasure that lasts. You know, we put this much time on the eternal. And we put this much time on that which can be gone tomorrow. Does it really make sense? Jesus says, no. But it is the reality for people who are enslaved in darkness. They don't understand, they don't comprehend, they don't see that reality. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. Jesus said, ultimately, in those words, no one comes to the Father but through me. The Father is on a divine mission in the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. In John 14:10, the Father is seen as living in the Christ. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. No one comes to the Father but through me. Christ is the only way to God, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We understand. We know. These words are exclusive. But not necessarily offensive, because they state precisely our greatest need. God in His matchless grace stepped in and provided what we could never provide for ourselves, and that's good news. The world would claim, that's intolerant, that's bigoted, but that alone is the life. God offers to each of us this new life, and all that He requires is that we receive Him by faith. He extends His grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus. Everything is through the Christ. It's almost as if Jesus states the fact, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then He restates it, saying, no one comes to the Father except through me. I alone am the one by whom people go to the Father. And so let it be clearly stated. Let it be loudly proclaimed. Jesus Christ is the only way by which men and women may come to the Father. There is no other way. That is not being impolite or politically incorrect or intolerant. It is simply stating the absolute truth. There was that hymn, maybe you know it, "O come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory for good things He has done." And do what? Praise the Lord. We must keep clearly in mind that the one who makes this claim is the incarnate Word, the revealer of God the Father. And there is no one authoritative, legitimate, absolute truth about God. There is no other one. Jesus Christ, the Word, is God's only avenue of communication with lost mankind. He is God incarnate. And you can have no legitimate knowledge of God and no other approach to God apart from what He has said. This is why the Word became flesh and lived among us. God's life is incarnate in Jesus Christ, and there is no other source of eternal life. What you decide to do with that life ultimately determines your eternal destiny. Amen. Father, this battle has waged through all history. You spoke to Adam and Eve and you said, you will reside within fellowship with me here in the garden. As long as you hear my word, as long as you believe my word, as long as you obey my word. So don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in that day, you'll surely die. Our relationship will be broken. And Satan comes in the garden. And he said, God didn't really mean what he said. And God's word continues to be revealed throughout history. And God says that the only Savior is found in the Son. The one who comes and lays down his life. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. That there is salvation to be found in no other name than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world comes along and says, there are many ways to God. No one has a corner on the truth. And God says, I not only have a corner on the truth, I am the truth. Jesus Christ says, I am the way and life. I am the only one. No other name. And the world cries out in despair, in disgust, in violence, in anger, and hatred, because their hearts are evil. Their minds are darkened. They do not want to know the truth. They are spiritually dead. And yet, from that deadness, God breathes new life. He brings from death unto life. And He opens the eyes of dead sinners, blinded by their sin, so that they can see the truth. With their minds, they now understand and they worship. And we live in this world. We live as a world fallen in darkness and sin. But we are the light of the world. We seek to bring life through the words of Christ. We do not despair over the wickedness of the world. We recognize it for what it is. We do not desire to see the ungodly perish in their sin. We desire them to come to acknowledge and glorify our God, that they might have life and life evermore. Father, place this heart within us. It was within your own heart when you sent your Son to the world, not willing that any should perish, but that all who believe would receive eternal life. And so we pray, we live, we speak that others might believe. Father, let us learn from Philip, not to be those who can't see, but who recognize the very thing that's before us, that we might live according to your word. Amen.